Very excited to be here and very blessed, but also very humbled that God has brought us to be a part of your family. And we look forward so much to getting to know you and keep in mind, give us time to get to know your names. If you know David and Kim and Sutton, you know that's all you have to know. We have several hundred more that we have to know. So please be patient with us as we get to know you all. But we feel very blessed and very honored to be here. And thank you so much for the warm greeting. I had a lady bring me chocolate chip cookies this morning. And there's no better way to start a ministry than chocolate chip cookies. And so they're over there. If I'll be very disappointed if any of you take them before I leave here. But I also thought, well, it would be exciting if someone took them because that would tell me God's bringing the sinners in. So that would be exciting to know. But we are very happy to be here. And thank you so much for your warm welcome. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the coming years as we work together and serve together as a family. Let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Father, I just want to thank you for your presence here in this room. And we have worshiped through song. We have worshiped through communion, through offering. We've even worshiped out in the parking lot and in the foyer as we came in and fellowshipped and encouraged and even prayed for this family. And I pray you will now bless us as we worship through the study of your word, that you'll speak to us clearly, that your spirit would move without distraction across this room, that we would know where you're leading us. In Christ's name, amen. Once the promised land had been conquered, Joshua, who was Moses' successor, God's appointed leader, he began to divide the land among the tribes. Every tribe received a portion at this time. And in the 14th chapter of Joshua, this Old Testament book that bears his name, Joshua is approached by an old friend and a fellow soldier named Caleb. Now, if you, most of you can recall and already know this, that when the Israelites came to the promised land the first time, that Moses sent 12 Israelite spies into the land of Canaan on a recon mission. Check out the defenses, check out the fortified cities, see what it's going to take this land. Well, they came back. 10 of them said, no way. No way we can do this. It is just too much. They are too strong. I don't know why God led us here. We can't do this. But two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, let's go. Let's do this. God is going to give us the victory. We're going to make this happen. This is good. Unfortunately, the children of Israel listened to the 10 spies. And they became very disappointed, discouraged. They complained. They blamed God. And God punished them by sending them back out into the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died off. When the new generation arose into leadership, God brought them back and said, okay, now will you do this? And they said, absolutely. We're not going to be like our fathers. We're going to take this land. And they did. And so that's what's led us to this point. The wars are over. Just a few skirmishes left. Some mop-up duty. And this is what Caleb says. He comes to Joshua. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. He makes this request. Joshua agrees, and he blesses Caleb. And as I read this, I picture in my mind these two old soldiers embracing, and Joshua perhaps saying in the ear of his friend, take the hill. Take the hill. It's yours, and God's going to help you take it. But I want you to take the hill. For over 10 years that I've been in Wichita, Kansas, I've always wanted to preach a sermon series called Take the Hill. But it just didn't seem to fit in Kansas. They just don't have hills, unless you count the speed bumps in the parking lot. And so it didn't fit, and it's not as inspiring to say, let's take the sunflower fields. You know, it just doesn't get people motivated. But it fits here. Take the hill. God has blessed us with so many different things, but especially, as John mentioned earlier in his prayer, the land that God has given us, and he expects us to take the hill. God loves all his churches. But there are churches that just won't do anything with the resources he gives them. They like the status quo. They like where they're at. It's too much work. It's too much sacrifice. And they don't seize those blessings. This church has. It has a history of doing that. And so God is giving more blessings. Take the hill. It's yours. I open the door for you. Take the hill. It's going to require work. Going to require sacrifice, but take the hill. And it's exciting, but it's also challenging. And you all know as well as I do, there are challenges in life for individuals, for families, for churches, for businesses, for marriages. There are challenges. As we were driving here, my wife Kim and I were talking, and we talked about an argument that we had some time ago. Terrible argument. She just would not admit she was wrong. And a couple of days after that, I asked her, I said, hey, we're meeting our friends for dinner. What time are we supposed to meet them? And she turned and she said, oh, are you talking to me? And I'm a little confused. I say, well, yeah, what's the matter? She says, haven't you noticed? I haven't spoken to you in 2 days. I said, I just thought we were getting along. I mean, it is challenging. Relationships are challenging. But I made a promise to her that in the near future, we will renew our vows. Probably our 40th anniversary in a few years. And at that point in time, I will say, Kim, you know, I still love you and honor you and cherish you as much as I did when we were married. And I promised you then that I would stay right by your side. And I meant what I said. And I love you just as much now. And we will renew our vows together. And I think there are times in our lives, whether it's in marriage or whether it's a business in your work, whether it's church, that we renew a commitment. We say, this is what we're going to do, and this is who we are, and this is what our future is. 10 chapters after Caleb was given the opportunity to take the hill, we see another commitment renewal. It's in the 24th chapter of Joshua. And Joshua is nearing the end of his life. And he announces to the Israelites, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua challenges the children of Israel to renew their covenant with God, to renew their commitment to him. And we live in a day and time, and you know this, that many people shy away from commitment. They don't want to lock themselves into a particular job or a particular course of action or a particular relationship. We have to keep all the options open. But when it comes to the Lord, there are times when we need to renew our initial commitment to Him. Times that we must say, hey, Lord, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, I accepted your Son. I made Him Lord and Savior of my life. And I said I was going to live for Him. I was going to dedicate my life to Him. I was going to obey Him. And I want you to know, I meant what I said. Now, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but I meant what I said. And you're going to be first in my life. I want to forsake my sinful habits. I want to leave them behind. I just want to rededicate myself to you. I want you to know, I meant what I said. And I believe there are times churches need to make that commitment. Maybe several times in the life of the church. Because too many churches lose sight of their purpose. They become too dependent upon tradition, or they get too involved in what's new and what's exciting, or they become too embracing of the status quo. They need to stop and remind themselves, hey, this is why we're here. This is why we were established. This is our mission. We need to do this because it's easy for us as individuals and for churches to fall back and to lose our excitement, to not be as fired up for the Lord as we once were. There's a natural tendency for things to slow down. So we need those times when we say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're going to be about. This is what we're going to do for the Lord. And we're going to seek Him and rely on Him, and we're going to follow His will. So that's what's going on in this 24th chapter of Joshua. And so Joshua, to help them with that, this renewal of commitment, he reminds them of all of the blessings that God gave them in the past. He says, you know how God blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And you can see the crowd that is assembled there saying, yeah, we know that. We know their story. And you know how God took our people, His people, out of Egypt. You know about Moses and Aaron and the 10 plagues that forced Pharaoh to let his people go? Yes, we all know that. And then he talks about the Red Sea crossing, how the children of Israel crossed on dry land. And then when the Pharaoh's army came across, that the walls of water collapsed on them. And, oh yeah, we know that. We know that. He said, God has blessed you every step of the way. God has blessed His people every step of the way. See, we need to remember too, when we're talking about this renewed commitment, we need to remember all the blessings that God has given us. All of the prayers that have been answered. All of the blessings that we've enjoyed. And then out of hearts of gratitude and hearts of thanksgiving, we're going to make the right choice to live in obedience to Him. That gratitude becomes our motivation. You know this. Rules and regulations will only take you so far. Fear will only take you so far, because then you'll start fearing something else. But there's got to be a time when we say as a church, hey, God, in appreciation for all the things that you've done here, for all the blessings that we've enjoyed, for the grace that we have received, for the forgiveness that's been granted, we want to live for you. We want this church to stand for you. Franklin Christian Church has been blessed by God for many years. And those of you who have been here a long time, and you've come up and you've told me it's this church, and there have been trying times, and there have been, you've shared with me, you've seen how God has blessed this church. And there have been trying times, and there have been difficult times. There have been times when it seemed like Satan got his foot in the door and he just wanted to create chaos and destroy unity. But this church has stood. Because there's always been a group of people here who remained here, and they were prayerful, and they were thankful, and they knew God was going to bless their efforts. And He has. And if you simply look back and note how wonderful God has been to you as individuals and as a church, if you remember how many times that God expressed His love for us, all the different ways He expressed His love for you, then it's going to be easier to make this commitment and this renewal of your pledge to Him. So before Joshua takes them on this history tour, this is what he says to them. He issues this challenge. Verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. throw away the gods your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Throw away all those false gods that you've accumulated. You need to serve only the Lord. Now, I love history. I love reading history. And you'll hear how much I love it as the years pass, because I like to share what I've read. And I know, I was some time ago, Winston Churchill. I read a thing on Churchill and why he was such an effective leader during World War II. And it wasn't because he promised the British people a life of ease. That everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. He didn't do that. He promised them blood, sweat, toil, and tears. And yet Britain responded to his message. Individuals, countries, churches will respond to great challenges. People don't respond to mediocrity. People don't get excited about the status quo. Oh, nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be fine. Okay, well, we're excited by that. One of the reasons Jesus was so effective was that he challenged people. You never read where Jesus compromised his message because it would make it easier for the people to get excited. You never saw where Jesus begged people. Man, he challenged them. He said things like, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He never said, hey, Christian life, it's very easy. Don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about your life. Why? Because God was in control. Because you made a commitment to God. Because you have said, God, you're first in my life. And that's the way it's always going to be. And only then we can follow this and obey this verse in Matthew 16. Do not worry about your life. I don't have to worry. God's in control. He's on his throne. An easy Christian life does not exist. It takes sacrifice. It takes strength of character. It takes discipline. But it's always a choice. One thing we need to understand about serving God is that it's always voluntary. There is freedom to choose with God. That's what Joshua is doing here. He's saying, you all get to choose. You're going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve yourself? You're going to serve these false gods? You're going to serve the world? You get to choose. The Lord did not create us to be robots. He doesn't want you to serve because you have to serve, because you'll be punished if you don't serve. He wants you to choose to serve Him out of love, out of gratefulness, out of thanksgiving. He offers you choices in life and eternity. And I'll be honest with you, I sometimes have a hard time with that. Because there are people that I know and people I care about and people I love who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And I want to make that choice for them. I want to force them into it. I want to say, you're going to do this and you're going to do it now. And you're going to be happy about it. I want to do that, but I can't. I can pray for them. I can talk to them. I can share with them. But they have to make that choice. And we have to make a choice. What are you going to do with Jesus? You have to make that choice. What are you going to do about your church? Are you going to support your church? Are you going to serve in your church? Get behind your church? Be loyal to your church? You have to decide that. Years ago when I was serving a church in Lexington, Kentucky, we were landlocked. We had absolutely no more room to expand, no more room for parking, no more room for anything. And a couple of houses adjacent to our property came up for sale. And our elders went over there, they talked to them, they got first refusal, they spent time praying about it and investigating it, and they want to be good stewards of God's money. And they said, God opened this door. This is God's thing. We're going to buy this property. And I, one Sunday morning, had a guy come up to me, a member of our church, and he was complaining about the houses and buying the houses. And I said, well, you know, the elders did due diligence on it. And he said, well, if the elders want those houses, the elders can pay for those houses. And I said, you know, the elders didn't buy those haphazardly. There's a lot of prayer that went into this. And these houses haven't been for sale for 20 years. And all of a sudden they come up for sale at the same time. And they approach the church and they said, hey, are you all interested in buying our property, our homes? And I said, this isn't just something that was coincidence. God opened this door. God wanted us to have those houses. And he said, well, if God wants us to have those houses, God can pay for them. I said, he wants to, but you're holding on to God's money. Listen, there are challenges. There are times when God says, there you go. Here's a blessing. I want you to run with it. And we have to choose what we're going to do. So Joshua says, listen, you've got a decision to make. I know what my family and I are going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. But you've got to make up your own mind. And look how the people respond, verses 16 and 18. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. You know, sometimes it takes one person to make a stand to affect the lives around them, to make a difference in the lives in their circle. Now, a lot of times we don't want to do this because we don't want to be the first. We're too intimidated. We're intimidated by our peers. We're intimidated by the world. We feel like we'll be ridiculed if we make the stand. But at some point in time, you're going to be challenged to take a stand for God. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's even in your own family. But you're going to be challenged to take a stand for the Lord. And again, it will be your choice to do that. See, we need teenagers and college students who will take a stand for the Lord on their campuses. We need moms and dads and grandparents and single people to take a stand for the Lord. People who say, hey, my commitment to Jesus Christ is far more than any ridicule I get. I don't care what people think of me. I've made a commitment to God. And when you do that, every time you take a stand, you are renewing that commitment. You're saying, hey, God is first in my life. God has blessed me so much. God comes first. I will stand for His Son. And we need people who will do that. We need people who have that kind of courage. Who have that kind of boldness. Who have that kind of faith. That's the kind of courage and conviction that makes a difference in the lives of others and in the life of a church. So the Israelites, they voiced their agreement. They said, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. And then Joshua responds very strangely. Verses 19 and 20. You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. What in the world is going on here? I mean, Joshua stands up before these people and he says, you choose. And they says, we choose God. He says, no, you can't. You don't get to choose God. What's happening? Well, there are different views on this, different theories of what's happening. I tell you, this is what I think, okay? And usually, if I stand here, I'll tell you this is what God's Word says. But if I move over here, this is what I think, okay? You're allowed to disagree with me if you wish. If you want to be wrong, that's okay. But this is what I think. I think Joshua is making them fight through this commitment. I think he's challenging them. Is this really what you want to do? Don't do it because I'm doing it. Don't make this decision for the Lord because you're emotional right now and you're excited and you've been given the promised land. And I don't want you to make that kind of commitment just because of that. I want you to make this commitment because it's the right thing to do. I want you to make this commitment because obedience is God's love language. I want you to make this commitment because God has given you this land and you are so grateful, you are so thankful that you're going to honor Him. That's why I want you to choose. And so I think He's making them work through this to really think about it. If you're serious in making a commitment to serve God, you've got to determine the cost because there will be consequences for individuals and for churches. And at some point, God's going to challenge every church that He loves to put up or shut up. Churches pray for God to open doors for ministry, for God to reach the lost, for God to grow their congregation. And when he does, he says, here's the opportunity. I want you to go through this door. And people say, I don't know. That's a lot of sacrifice. That means we got to give more time, more money. I'm not sure I want to do that. And you have to fight through that commitment. You have to decide, this is really what I need to do. That God has given us resources to reach the lost, to grow the believer. And now he wants to see, are you going to work for it? Are you going to serve? Are you going to worship? Are you going to bless? Are you going to invite? Are you going to get involved in the lives of others? See, a lot of churches have this field of dreams mentality. If you build it, they will come. And listen, that only works with cornfields in Iowa, all right? Doesn't work with churches. The service and the sacrifice and everything you're doing right now, the work you're doing for the Lord, has to continue when God takes the hill with us. When God gives us that new building. And we can't go up on top of that hill and say, okay, look at this brand new building. People are going to just flock in here. It doesn't work. We continue to serve. We continue to invite. We continue to tell others about Jesus Christ. We continue to say, hey, let me tell you what my church means to me. And I would love for you to come to my church. You're going through a difficult time right now. We can help you. We can be God's partners with you in making good things happen. The work is ongoing. The service is ongoing. We have to be involved with people. We have to love people. We have to share these people and what they mean to us. When I was leaving Wichita, I received a letter from a member of our church, a very special lady, and she just wanted to encourage me and wrote some very nice things. And then at the bottom, she says, she had just seen a report, Franklin is one of the three fastest growing cities east of the Mississippi. And she wrote, to me, that implies a bigger harvest and more opportunity for the spread of the gospel in Franklin. She knows what's going on. She's never been here. And she knows what this church can do. She knows what this church family can do. And how God is going to use this church in miraculous ways. Ways we can't even imagine right now. That's why it's important. We renew as a church family. We say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to respond to God's challenge. We are going to do this together. So the Israelites do just that. They promise their loyalty. And then we read this. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Now, obviously, the rock didn't hear things. It wasn't a magical rock. It was a symbol. This is what we said right here. And these words will be remembered. And back then, a stone or a pile of stones was looked upon as a holy place. So Joshua says, we're going to mark this stone under the shade of this beautiful tree as the place where you changed your life, where you committed yourself to God totally, fully, and completely. And every time you see this rock, every time you see this tree, it's going to remind you of the covenant that you made with God. And I've always told people, you want to establish a new goal? Write it down. You make a promise to God about some things you want to change in your life. Put it on a card. Write it down. Stick it in your Bible where you have your daily devotions. Or put it on your bathroom mirror where you see it every day. Because when you see that, it reminds you, I made a commitment to God. And I'm going to fulfill that commitment. So this day, July 23rd, 2017... let's all be challenged to recommit ourselves to the Lord. Let's be challenged to recommit ourselves to each other. To recommit ourselves to Franklin Christian Church. To recommit ourselves to the goals and the vision that God has given this church. We are ready to march for His cause, to sacrifice when called upon, to live by faith, to take the hill. And God's going to bless us every step of the way. Let me close by sharing something that happened to me years ago. I was living in Ocala, Florida. And in a lapse of sanity, I volunteered to chaperone third graders to Busch Gardens Amusement Park. My middle son was one of those third graders. And I spent the whole day keeping them out of the gift shops, keeping them away from the beer brewery, keeping them away from the Clydesdale horse barn. I mean, they were just everywhere. So finally, we went to the wild animal section of the park. And while we were there, we were given a tour, and they had this African impala. And this creature is only about 3.5 feet tall, but it can leap up to 9 feet in the air. But as we stood there looking around, there was only a 4-foot stone wall around the enclosure. And it's like, why aren't the impalas escaping? You know, they can jump over this wall. They can jump over twice the size of this wall. So why are they still here? And the guide explained, an impala will only jump if it can see where it will land. And so with a 4-foot stone wall, it can't see over. And so it will not jump. It's too scared. It's too frightened. I've known some Christians like that. I've known a lot of churches like that. There's opportunity, but they're too scared. They're too frightened, or they don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to work hard. Never let that be said about this church. And when God gives us an opportunity, we seize that opportunity. When God gives us a blessing, we are thankful for that blessing. And we will use that blessing to bless others. When God opens a door, we're going to walk through that door together. And it'll be tough sometimes, and it will require a lot of hard work. But we're going to do it because it's His church, and we are His people. And we renew our commitment to Him today. To live for Him, to take the hill. Father, thank You for everyone present in this room. Thank You for their faith, their love for You. And I pray that during this song that we renew that commitment in our hearts and in our minds. A commitment to live for You, to trust You, to leap, even when we can't see where we're going. Thank You, Father, for Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.